Genesis 24, verses 1 to 27.
Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant asked him, "What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from?" "Make sure that you do not take my son back there," Abraham said. "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharain and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel near this well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time the women go out to draw water. And then he prayed, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, 'Please sit down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I'll water your camels too,' let her be the one that you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and no man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied the jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a beaker and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son that Milcah bore to Nahor." And she added, "We have plenty of straw and fodder, as well as room for you to spend the night." Then he bowed down and worshipped the Lord, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives."
Please leave your Bibles open there at Genesis chapter 24. Now we're looking at the whole chapter. I didn't do that to our Bible reader this morning, as it's the biggest chapter in the book of Genesis. And we continue on our series in the book of Genesis. Let's pray before we get into God's word. Lord, we pray now as we come to Genesis chapter 24, Lord, that you would open up your word to us now through your Spirit, that you would give us eyes to see, and that you would guide my words, Lord, that they would be your words and not mine. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in the 1800s, there was a Christian evangelist named George Muller. Now, George was a very passionate evangelist, obviously, but he also was very involved in running orphanages. But he had a very different way of running these orphanages. He never, ever asked anyone for anything. Even though he cared for thousands of kids, he believed that if God wanted the work to be done, then God would provide everything that was needed. And one morning, all of the kids were sitting down for breakfast. The bowls and plates were all in place. Everything was set up to have their meal. But there was no food in the pantry and no milk or any kind of drink in the kitchen. The staff came to Muller and they were quite worried. But he calmly said, "Don't worry. Let's give thanks because God will provide." And so they prayed. And they thank God for the food that they couldn't see anywhere. They had no idea how it was going to come. And just as they finished praying, they heard a knock on the door. It was the local baker. He told Muller that he'd woken up in the middle of the night and he couldn't sleep. He felt that God wanted him to bake bread for the orphanage. And so he had worked right through the night, turning up with fresh baked bread for the orphans. Not long after that, they heard another knock on the door. And of all places for the milkman's cart to break down, it was right in front of the orphanage. He knew he wasn't going to be able to get his cart fixed in time before the milk would spoil, and so he went and asked if the orphans could use it. And of course, they gratefully accepted it. That morning, the children ate fresh bread and drank milk, all provided at just the right time. Muller said that stories like that were not unusual at all. God was faithful to provide again and again through ordinary people and everyday events. Now, we all know that our congregation is getting older and that we need more young families to come and partner in the ministry here in our town. We all know that there are all sorts of activities that take place on Sunday that keep people away from coming and being a part of church. And we all know that there are many gospel opportunities in our town and the surrounding towns that we would love to be a part of. And sometimes it can feel like everything is going the wrong way. But today's passage is reminding those who trust in Jesus that if we are prayerful and if we are relying on God, he will provide what we need. As Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 reminds us, if we're depending on God for what he has called us to do, then God will meet all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. As I mentioned, today's passage is the longest chapter in the book of Genesis. And so we do have a fair bit of ground to cover today. But as we look at the faith of Abraham, his servant, and Rebekah in these verses, we'll see God providing for the needs of those who trust in him, for those who are relying on him to provide for all of their needs. So firstly, the first point from today's passage is that God is at work in the everyday circumstances of our lives to bring his will to pass. As today's passage begins, Abraham recognizes that he has a need. He had been faithful in listening to God's word when God had called him to leave his homeland and go to a place that he'd never, ever been before. And God had been faithful in giving Abraham and Sarah the son that God had promised them. But now Sarah had passed away and Isaac was around 40 years old. Abraham knew that his son needed a wife because God had promised that he would make Abraham's descendants into a great nation, and he had promised to do that through Isaac. But now they were living in the promised land, the land that God had shown them, and the only women living in that area were the Canaanite women, women who didn't know or fear the Lord. And so Abraham sent his oldest and most trusted servant to go and get a wife from among his own people. In verse 2, Abraham tells his servant to put his hand under Abraham's thigh and swear that he will not get a wife for his son from the Canaanites. Now, this was the way that men would make a binding agreement back then. And so I think we can be very thankful that our culture just settles with a handshake. Abraham also made his servant promise not to take Isaac back to his homeland, back to Ur of the Chaldeans, even if the woman refused to go. Abraham was trusting that God would provide, and he was trusting in God's promise that his descendants would inherit the land. And in the last words that we hear from Abraham in the Bible, Abraham shows incredible faith in God's provisions. as he says, you'll read it in verse 7. He says in verse 7, he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. So in faith, the servant set out for Abraham's homeland, Ur of the Chaldeans, with 10 camels and all sorts of gifts for Isaac's future wife. But when he arrived in the town of Nahor, the town of Nahor was named after Abraham's brother, Nahor, the servant made the camels kneel down by a well. And there he prayed to the Lord. He prayed that the Lord would make his journey a success. And he asked God to guide him to the woman that God had set aside for Isaac. He says in verse 14, may it be that when I say to the girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant, Isaac. Before this servant had even finished praying, which shows that God was working already, Rebecca came out with a jar on her shoulder. Rebecca was the granddaughter of Abraham's brother Nahor. Now, she was a very beautiful young woman. She was a virgin and she was the age to be married. And as the servant asked her for some water, she demonstrated the kind of kind, patient, and generous character that she had. She gave the servant some water to drink, and then she drew water for his camels until they had finished drinking. Now, to put that in perspective, they say that the average camel, when it isn't thirsty, will drink about 10 gallons or 38 litres of water. But these camels had only just been on a dry and dusty journey, and so they could have drunk as much as 20 gallons or around 75 litres of water. And she only had a jar to go and work this out with. And on top of that, there were 10 camels. This shows that Rebecca wasn't afraid of some hard work. The whole time this was going on, the servant was watching intently. He was checking the character of this young woman. Is this the one that God had called him to take back to Isaac? And when she had finished, the servant gave her gifts and asked her who she was related to. That's when he found out that she was the granddaughter of Nahor, Abraham's brother. The servant bowed down and worshipped the Lord for showing kindness and faithfulness to Abraham and for making his journey a success. God was working as Abraham's servant made his way to that particular well. And God was working when Rebecca came out at that exact time. God's at work in the everyday circumstances of our lives in order to bring his will to pass. And he's at work in the everyday circumstances of our lives too, as he works all things together for the eternal good of those who trust in him. The second point from today's passage is that our role as his people is to act in faith as we partner in what God is doing. To act in faith as we partner with what God is doing. God had guided Abraham's servant to the girl that God had set aside for Isaac to marry. But asking her family to let her go to a place she'd never been before, to marry a man that she'd never even seen or met before, was still a really big ask. And so when Laban came out to meet with Abraham's servant, the servant told Laban everything that the Lord had done for Abraham and how God had guided him to Rebekah as he journeyed to find a wife for Abraham's son, Isaac. And then you'll read in verse 49, if you show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, so that I may know which way to turn. And Laban replied, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or another. Here is Rebekah, take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. The servant had called on the Lord to make his journey a success as he set out. And after meeting Rebekah and receiving confirmation that this was the girl that God had set aside for Isaac, the servant bowed down and gave God the glory for what he had done. And then when Laban had told him that Rebekah could go and become Isaac's wife, the servant once again, in verse 52, bowed down before the Lord and gave him thanks. God was working through the everyday circumstances of their lives to bring about his will. And as Abraham's servant prayed and asked for God's guidance and then gave him the glory for what he had done, he was partnering with God in what God was doing. When Rebekah's mother heard what had happened, she asked the servant if Rebekah could stay for 10 more days before they went. You can imagine a mother wanting to do that, probably wanting to spend more time with her daughter. It wasn't as though she could call her up the next day or send her a text. But the servant declined. And so they asked Rebekah, and she simply said, "I will go." Which is quite amazing, really. Because just as Abraham had done, Rebekah was being called to a land that she'd never been to before, trusting that this was the Lord's doing. And in faith, Rebekah partnered with God in what he was doing and agreed to go and become Isaac's wife, even though she knew nothing about the place they were going or nothing about the man she was going to marry. And so in faith, Rebekah and her attendant or nurse traveled to the promised land with Abraham's servant, not really knowing what was ahead of them. When they arrived, Isaac and Rebekah met, and there was like love at first sight. She was, after all, the girl that God had created for Isaac. Isaac loved her, and Rebekah comforted Isaac over the passing of his mother. Today's passage is challenging those who trust in Jesus that God will provide for all of our needs. Too often we make excuses for God, and we try and explain why God hasn't answered our prayers in the time frame we want or in the way that we want. The simple answer is that God is working all things together for the eternal good of those who love him. Sometimes that'll mean waiting on God's timing. Other times that'll mean accepting God's answer, accepting a different answer to the one we wanted, but accepting that God's answer is ultimately better than the one we wanted in every single situation. But God is always working through the everyday circumstances of our lives to bring his will to pass. See, Abraham had a need. He knew that his son needed a wife, and he was trusting God with that need. He acted in faith, not knowing how God would provide, but knowing that he would provide. As a congregation, we have a need. We need more young families to partner in the ministry of our church. And we know that our need is in line with God's revealed will. We know this because Matthew 9 tells us that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. And so, like Abraham, we are called to act in faith, trusting that the Lord will provide. And a good part of that, a good part of putting that faith into practice, partnering in what God is calling us to do, is spending time in corporate prayer. When we pray, as Max just led us in prayer, when we gather on the fortnightly Zoom gathering, when we pray in our Bible study groups, asking the Lord to provide for our need, just as Jesus told us to. As a servant went in faith to do what Abraham had told him to do, he asked the Lord to make his journey a success. The servant knew that unless God was working through the everyday, ordinary circumstances he was going through, He was not going to be able to do what he was sent to do. And so he prayed to God, asking him to guide him every step of the way. When the servant received his answer, he gave God the glory for what he had done. It's not a happy coincidence that Abraham's servant just happened to bump into Rebecca at that well. It was God leading and guiding the servant to the place where God would partner with him in the work that he was doing. In the story that I told at the beginning of the message, Muller, who was a very real man who had this very real philosophy of trusting the Lord for what he needed, he had put himself in a place where he was ready to partner in the work that God had given him to do. And just like Abraham's servant, Muller was depending on God's provision in what might many of us might call a radical way. Because trusting God to provide requires us to believe that God will always work even when we can't see how. And that even when the path is unclear, God's covenant purposes and promises still stand as he works all things together for the eternal good of those who love him. And so today's passage is challenging those who trust in Jesus to live by faith and not by sight, to be prayerful, praying with the expectation that God will provide for our needs and that he will do more than we can even expect. As Ephesians chapter 3 reminds us, that he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Now, that's easy to say, that God can do immeasurably more than all we imagine or ask, but it isn't as easy to believe when we can't see how he's doing what we want him to do. But if what we are asking the Lord to do is in line with his will, and if we're trusting him to provide, God will meet our needs better than we can ever imagine, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Because God is at work in the everyday circumstances of our lives. And our role as those who trust in Jesus is to partner with God in the work that he has given us to do, for his glory and for his name's sake. Let's give him thanks. Lord, we pray to you, Lord, that you, asking you to provide for our needs. We recognize that in our congregation here in Area Park, there is a need for more young families to come and join in the ministry that you have given us to serve in. We recognize that there are so many more gospel needs in our town and in the surrounding towns than we have the people to engage with. Lord, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Lord, we pray that you would raise up more workers for the harvest. And Lord, as we do that, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be prayerful, that you would help us to be people who trust that you will provide, that you can provide, and that you do provide. Help us to live dependent lives on you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.